I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Along with Tom Lavera, I'm Chris Russell. Final hour of the radio program here on a Saturday morning. We'll take you up till noon. Dan Colco, Nats Insider at that point, Tommy. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So we bounced all around. We talked a little Orioles from that whole ownership mess, the Tyreek Hill situation, that mess. We talked a little boxing with the unfortunate tragedy that happened earlier this week with Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker. We opened up with the Nationals and my debacle of a trip to Busch Gardens and me challenging you to hop on a roller coaster with me, even though I don't ride roller coasters myself. So we've done all of that. But you know what we haven't done yet is
Redskins.
Yes. Training camp opens up. This Wednesday, the boys report to Richmond and the Bon Secours Washington Redskins Training Center for year seven, Tommy. Year seven down in Richmond. Year seven. They moved there in 2013, which was the year after winning, of course, the division championship and Robert Griffin's second year and what turned out to be all in for week one, even though he wasn't in any way, shape, or form ready. And Mike Shanahan's final year. By the way, Mike Shanahan, Adam Schefter reported this, just a quick aside. He is attending Broncos practice today.
Yeah, I read that.
That's the first time he's been back at their facility, apparently, according to Schefter, wow, since he's been fired.
And he lives real close to
there. Yeah, absolutely. I did not realize that was the first time that he had been back at that facility.
Wow.
That's interesting. And really, he didn't get a whole lot of, you know, when not only Fangio, but when they were hiring Vance Joseph a couple of years ago, yeah, which turned out to be a bad hire. He really didn't get any run, you know. I mean, Kyle got some run before he became the 49ers head coach.
Not to go off on a tangent, but I remember reading stories where Elway wanted to hire him and ownership stopped
him. Right, right. And now, you know, Pat Bowlen, who's going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame posthumous. How do you say that? Posthumous?
Posthumously.
There you go. That's why you're Tom Lavero and why I'm merely the rooster. So anyway, the Redskins went to Richmond 2013, what turned out to be Mike Shanahan's final year. 2013, 2014, obviously all now 5 years of Jay Gruden's tenure. Right. So this is year, what did I say? No, this is year seven, right? It's an eight-year deal. So they have two more years
this year and next
remaining on the deal. I don't want to get too heavy into business and politics because the city of Richmond and, you know, they made a bad deal for them and it hasn't worked out.
It's been a money-losing proposition for the city.
I don't want to say I don't care, but I really don't care so much that I want to necessarily get into the nook and cranny of that. But I think both you and I would agree. Well, let me phrase it better. I would say, and maybe you'll agree, you tell me, that it's very likely, conceivable, that the Redskins are only going to be in Richmond for this year and next year, and then that they're coming home, perhaps for training camp in the 2021 season back at Redskins Park. And I actually think, not because of their own doing, not because of their own choice, but I think that would be a very good thing for this fan base because I think it's extremely prohibitive for most of the fan base to get down to Richmond for even a day or two to see their favorite football team practice and train. Is that all fair? Or is that wrong?
I don't think it's that cost prohibitive.
Okay.
I think going to training camp, and I date back to the days in Carlisle,
right,
became part of the Redskins fan tradition and lore, you know? And look, one thing I'll say I think the Redskins do is, I think if you're a Redskin fan, You should make the trip to Richmond because I think it's a pretty good experience.
It is a good experience. I think it's just hard to get there.
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know why it's hard to get there. It's not that far. It's only 90 miles away. Chris.
Well, from
Washington, it's only 90 miles.
Well, from Washington, but a lot of Redskins fans live west of Washington D.C.
Okay,
a lot of Redskins fans live in Maryland.
Maybe it's 130. It's not that far.
But it is far.
It's not that far.
A lot of traffic and construction, Tom?
I don't know anything about traffic and construction.
I know I'm not allowed to complain about this, but it's a pain in the ass.
I'm not familiar with those terms.
Well, I am.
But look, I think, like I said, you're going to have better access to players. I think there's a lot of cool stuff you can see. Mm-hmm. I think they do a good job. And in light of what's happening in the NFL, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Left their training camp in Lehigh a couple of years ago to train at their headquarters, where at their home facility.
Right. I think it's called Novacare.
Something like that.
It's like a block away from the stadium, maybe a couple blocks away.
And now they're down to basically one mm-hmm. open practice. Mm-hmm. One open practice during training camp, and you got to pay to go there.
Yeah.
Now the money's going to charity. But you still got to fork out $10 to go watch the Eagles train if you're an Eagles fan for the one training session you can see.
And that's at Lincoln Financial Field. And what they do is just for people to, again, know, they basically do a scrimmage.
Yeah.
And they've always done that. But this is the first year that they're down to one and only.
That's the only time you get
practice.
To see them.
Right.
I think this is a tone deaf situation. For the NFL to follow, but I do agree with you that I think once the Richmond deal is up, most teams have gone the way of abandoning mm-hmm. going away to training camp and moving their training camp to where they practice normally year-round.
Which is, of course, for right now, Redskins Park, and we presume whenever a new stadium gets built, and I know
there's no stadium.
Yeah, I was going to say, we kind of touched on this last week.
Richmond hurts their chances of getting one built in Virginia.
Because of how bad the Richmond deal has turned out for the city of Richmond and the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, Richmond is the capital of Virginia.
Right, right.
Legislators can see what's happening with training camp in there. Not that I ever thought there was much of a chance in Virginia anyway.
Well, but you also brought this up last week, and we kind of lightly touched on it, the whole Jack Evans situation, and I'm not into the whole politics of it, but I talked about it a little bit on my podcast, and I just mentioned that you had brought it up to me, and again, without doing a deep dive on politics, that guy's a big proponent of the Redskins going back to D.C. and keeping the name, and therefore driving that vehicle for them to build a new stadium at RFK, and if he's involved in all of this legal mess, which he clearly is, that takes away leverage from Bruce and the boys as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My point is, though, is that the Redskins are going to be back at Redskins Park.
Right.
After this deal with Richmond is done.
Right.
And probably most fans will like that.
Yes.
Because it is more accessible.
It is.
But it's a different experience. You'll miss something. I mean, Redskins fans I know have fond memories of going to Carlisle to training camp.
So here's my question. I obviously was not around for Carlisle or Frostburg. I assume being that you haven't mentioned Frostburg, for you Carlisle was the jam, was the spot.
Well, that was where I first started covering the team.
So my first couple of years was at Redskins Park, and then obviously my last couple of years on the beat was down in Richmond. I hated going to Richmond. I like Richmond as a city. I like the people down there. I love the facility. You're absolutely right. The Redskins do a good job. They bring the players, the kids go on the field.
It's a good experience for fans.
They have, kids zone activities. They have plenty of food options. It doesn't seem unreal. Now, some of the street food truck vendors got screwed and they paid a lot of money and they didn't get a lot of business. They've tinkered with the schedule, morning practice, afternoon practice. They wanted people to stay around because of money reasons, not because of things that were good for the football team, so on and so on. They've been pretty steady now here with the main morning practice, which means a lot of people, quite honestly, Tommy, don't stay around for the afternoon walkthrough because that's very less sexy. And while they miss out on an opportunity in a quaint atmosphere to get autographs and pictures after that afternoon walkthrough and even before, it means that people that go down there can see the morning practice at, say, 8:30 and 8:45, whatever time it is. And generally speaking, they can be out of there by lunch. And if you're coming back up to D.C. or Maryland, you can probably beat a lot of the traffic,
which is
a good thing.
Yeah, but if it were me, I'd make a couple of days of it. I'd make it an overnight trip.
And that's more than fair. I guess here's the question that I had brought up, I think, via text or email or whatever to you. I think it's a prohibitive trip. I think even though the Redskins have tried to make it a good experience, I think it's tough for a lot of people to, especially if it's a day trip, and some people can't afford the hotel, the eating out, the time, whatever the situation might be. Will Dwayne Haskins, his presence, make you go down to Richmond if you have been either boycotting, not attending, not down there recently? Will that juice up the experience for you to go down 995 to see the Redskins? Because training camp crowds, as FedEx Field crowds, have dwindled dramatically over the years. Will Dwayne Haskins' arrival and his presence juice up the atmosphere, juice up the experience, and juice you up to go down to Richmond? That's what we wanted to tackle next. We'll get Tom's take on that. I'll give you mine. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We'll get yours next on that, on The Fan. All right, welcome back. It is 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app. Tom Lavero, I'm Chris Russell. Jim Chester on the other side of the glass. Dan Colco, Nats Insider, coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get into the Wizards and a very controversial decision to part ways with Steve Buckhantz and hire a new play-by-play broadcaster, plus to make it official, unofficial, unofficial, official with Tommy Shepard. We'll do that and tackle that in the 11:30 to 12 o'clock segment of the show. But Tommy, we have a couple of calls, and we wanted to kind of get people's feedback. I think it's more prohibitive to go to Richmond, it sounds like, than you think. And correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm phrasing that way. I do it because I get value from it, doing what we do. I can go down there, get a couple of interviews. It's a long-ass day if you're doing all that driving coming from west of the city or in Maryland or wherever. If you're not meaning in Fredericksburg or Stafford, it's a really long drive back and forth on the same day, plus being out in the heat and all that stuff.
It's no different than driving to go to Hershey Park for the day.
I know.
Or any other
that's
event.
That's tough, too.
It's a family outing. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay. I mean, that's your spin. I'm just telling you how I feel, but okay. I think the Redskins are going to benefit by eventually leaving Richmond and coming back here. Of course, that leads us into a whole, you know, when are they going to get a new facility type thing? But presumably, this is the last 2 years in Richmond unless they do some sort of an extension, which I suppose is possible. It just doesn't seem likely. But will Dwayne Haskins' presence entice you to go down there if you've been on the fence about not going, if you haven't been the last couple years because the product wasn't juicy or exciting? I think he will.
I think he'll
bring a lot of fans down there.
I don't know about a lot. I think attendance will get a bump.
How big of a bump would you guess? 50%, 25%?
Oh, no. I'd say more like 20, maybe 25 at the outside.
I think initially it will be slow, i.e. this Thursday, say Friday. Of course, the weekend crowds are always the biggest crowds. Like Saturday will be a huge spike and a huge crowd. I think what will happen, and this is just me kind of thinking outside the box or in a box or whatever you want to do with me in a box. If he performs well, Tommy, on August 8th in Cleveland, granted a meaningless preseason game, the Redskins have not the next day, but that next practice is that Saturday, and I think the final practice, I think, is on Sunday, August the 11th, open for the public. That's where I think you'll see a huge swell because people get all up in a lather. Oh, Dwayne Haskins looked great. We got to see more of him.
Depends how much we see of Dwayne Haskins.
I think we'll see a pretty decent amount of him in that first preseason
game. If Adrian Peterson keeps talking about how good they look with Case Keenum, may keep the crowds away.
We're going to get into that tomorrow. How about that? Let's do that. Let's get a couple of calls in here. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Let's get to Daniel and Bowie on the Fan. What's up, Dan? How are you?
Yo. Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Went down to training camp, man, maybe like 5 years ago. I know RG3 was coming back from his injury. My son and I had a great time. Will I go back because of Dwayne Haskins? Unfortunately, guys, I don't think so. At this point, I've reached a point where the team can't do much as long as Dan Snyder's in charge for me to really get back on board and attending games and attending training camp. I'd rather watch in the comfort of my own home or listen to it on NFL Network or keep track on it online than go be in the heat.
But that's the problem. Training camp is not available
This guy is the 2019 Washington Redskins fan prototype here.
Yes.
That's the fan
I want to say, guys, I'll say it with an asterisk, that maybe it's because I was too young to really enjoy the Super Bowls. Because the older guys I've spoken to at work, they're still very excited and looking forward to it. I just can't, guys. But thanks for taking my
call. Sure, thank you, Daniel. We understand the frustration. Again, I do think the Redskins overall product, even though this is free, I think they're because of the dissatisfaction of the customer base and the fan base, it absolutely has had a major impact on Richmond and attendance and crowds in Richmond, even though it is free to get in and free to attend and watch. And it is an intimate environment that you do not get at FedEx Field. Let's get to Mike and Ashburn on the Fan. Hey, Mike, how are you?
How you guys doing?
What's up, Mike?
I would love to see... I have a couple topics. I'd love to see the decline in attendance in all sports since it's been 15 years now since we converted to digital high definition TV.
Okay, yeah, but this is just work with us here. Debate, different argument. We're specifically talking about training camp and going down to Richmond.
Well, I'm Tom's age, right? And I have never been to a practice in my life, and I don't know of anybody of my friends that have ever gone and watched them practice. I just think I just wait for them to start playing.
Okay.
But the other issue I have is people talking about the attendance, the decline in attendance.
Right.
You think about four-person family.
Yeah. It's very
expensive.
About
how much it costs. Normally, it's like $110 a ticket and $50 a park. So that's $250.
It's absurdly expensive. Mike, I appreciate the phone call. It's a different topic than what we ideally wanted. I get the sense just from listening to Mike in Ashburn, even though he's in Ashburn, Tommy, he said he had never attended a Redskins practice. Like, he wouldn't go whether it's at Redskins Park, whether it was in Richmond, whether it was in Landover, whether it was in Carlisle or Frostburg, free, not free. He's just not going. And, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Again, I think the location is more problematic than you do. I understand where you're coming from. I think traffic is... I don't think traffic necessarily is... traffic.
I've almost reduced Russell to the point where he can barely say the word traffic.
Well, I
think I've accomplished something here.
What I'm thinking is it's not necessarily traffic from the volume of people commuting and going in towards the city. It's opposite of that. But you do run into construction, and it is, again, it is a considerable distance. My pal Richmond John says 95 South is a lot easier to navigate than Beltway traffic. Occasionally Potomac Mills slows you up, but generally it's not that hard for fans to come to Richmond for training camp. So John is basically in your camp, and he's obviously down there in Richmond. I would say again, the distance and the potential construction that you run into, especially if you're doing it all in the same day, is somewhat of, to me, it's a turnoff. I go only because I have to, not because I want to.
Right. If you're a fan and you come away with an autograph from I won't say Trent Williams because he probably
he might not be there. Well, we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
But Jordan Reed, then it doesn't really matter how much traffic you sit in.
That you know, I mean, I understand how you kind of view things. Let's squeeze in Walt and Alexandria here real quickly before the bottom of the hour. Walt, how are you?
Yes, fine. How are you doing today, sir?
What's up, Walt?
You know, they used to have clubs like the Pigskin Club, the Touchdown Club, another club that sponsored trips leaving out of the Carter Barron. You just go there and you get on the bus. And
there you go
down there and you stay and then you come back. So I'm just wondering, do they still have those type of clubs that could sponsor those trips down and make it much easier for the fan to get
there? It's a great question, and I think they do. I don't know the answer to that.
I think there's a lot of bus trips that go down to training camp.
For that the Redskins specifically affiliate with and promote and market? I think that are
privately marketed.
Okay, maybe that's it. I could be wrong. I don't remember hearing anything from the Redskins about, hey, you know, meet at Potomac Mills, or hey, meet in, you know, Fairfax Commons Mall, or whatever, or you know, wherever it might be, Crystal City, and you know, for $20 or whatever, you get round trip transportation.
But you've seen the buses outside a training camp.
You do, but a lot of that isn't that from, I think, maybe I'm wrong, Tommy. I always thought that was like schools and maybe day camps in the Richmond area.
No, they're in like tour buses.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't remember hearing a lot about the Redskins organizing it, but
the Redskins organize it.
Just private, totally like you have to kind of seek it out and find it. But they should do probably more of that to get more fans there and to give their fans a little bit of an easier and I guess more relaxing atmosphere and time. Because to me, it is prohibitive. All right, when we come back, we will talk about the Wizards' controversial decision. We'll get back into the training camp stuff. We've got a bunch of questions for tomorrow's show. Tommy and I will be back together again from 9 to noon tomorrow. So I appreciate you guys being with us. We'll get back into the Redskins tomorrow, and we'll have more time there. When we come back, Steve Buckhantz is out. A new play-by-play broadcaster is in. Does it matter for the Washington Wizards? We'll tackle that next on the Fan. All right, along with Tom LeVere, I'm Chris Russell. We're with you until noon, so we've got a lot to do in a very little amount of time. Also, happy 10th anniversary today to 106.7 The Fan. The format went in place 10 years ago today, CK tweeted about it. I just tweeted a couple of thoughts about it. Just a quick note on that, Tommy. I know you were obviously elsewhere at the time. I was here. Part of that launch, and then I, of course, left less than about a year later, right before Mike Shanahan's first training camp, to kind of join you guys over there. It was a crazy time because let me tell you something. The Wizards were thrilled to have us. I think the Capitals were happy to have us. I know the Nationals were happy to have us. You know what? One team wasn't.
The Redskins.
Boy, did they make my life and CK's life and really everyone's life miserable that first year. Miserable.
Yeah, well, to the victor go the spoils. Here it is 10 years later. And the only one standing, really, you have a couple of pretenders left in the ring. The only one standing, really, is 106.7 The Fan.
And you've been here for now, what, 3.5 years?
2.5 years.
Two and a half years. So I've been back for since July of 2015. So I've now served here, whatever that means, for 5 of the 10 years that it's been an all sports format. And obviously before that, it was a legendary guy talk station, 106.7 WJFK, which at one point had the Redskins. And ironically and weirdly, and maybe this is how I got all connected here, my overnight or late night and weekend driven national radio shows used to be on, again, the old format. So that's how some people kind of knew of me when I first got here, and I had to kind of buy some time between by the time I moved here to where it became all sports. But clearly, I mean, you know, look, that's where the business is going. FM, it's a pretty damn good signal. We have the Nationals. We had the Capitals, did have the Wizards for a little while, bounced around with some Georgetown. Obviously, the NFL package. It's been a really good mix and an interesting ride over the last 10 years. And obviously, you know, thanks to the Junkies and Grant Danny and Dukes and CK, but most importantly, the fans. I mean, love them, hate them, or they love us, hate us, whatever. We're nothing without the fans, without listening, and without people actually supporting the radio station by listening and giving us the numbers that we need.
Oh, yeah. I mean, more than ever, the support is there. And it's been a fun place to work.
Absolutely. What hasn't been a fun place to work? The Washington Wizards. So they stink on the court. We all know that. Your guy, Ernie Grunfeld, finally got whacked in early April. And a lot of people thought, that's going to lead to bigger and better things. We'll tackle that part of it then. But the Wizards this week, after a seemingly roller coaster ride of an offseason so far, with some bad things and, quite honestly, some good things, put the icing, if you will, on the proverbially bad cake earlier this week when they had officially decided to move on from Steve Buckhantz, their longtime play-by-play broadcaster, and hiring Justin Kutcher, a name that nobody knows really anything about. I'm sure he's a fine broadcaster. I don't know him. I've read a lot about him. I've heard a lot of conjecture. I'm sure he'll be fine. You've known Buckhantz for a while. Is this a terrible move, or is this a not great move, but it's somewhat understandable considering where the franchise is?
Is there a level below terrible?
I mean, because hell on earth?
That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the level below terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, this was a Zach Leonsis-driven decision.
Wait, Zach Leonsis, yes. Not Ted Leonsis?
No, well, Ted okay. Supports his son.
Mm-hmm.
But Zach has his fingerprints all over the media operation for this team. Starting with kicking Phil Chenier out a couple years ago, bringing in Kara Lawson. The idea was then, now this time around, they were looking for somebody who they felt had better chemistry with Kara to do the job. Before they could do that, she up and leaves
right.
for a job with coaching with the Boston Celtics. They had the perfect opportunity to set the clock back and say, well, we're going to bring the band back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring Phil back. We're going to leave Buck here, and at least there'll be one thing about this organization you'll like, because it's literally the only thing that most fans can agree with about the organization, that they loved Phil and Buck and the team together. Because when you broadcast games for a bad team for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a sense of humor. You've got to have a chemistry
right.
and a sense of humor. And these guys had that together. Or importing new talent is absurd. And you know, it's hard for me to understand how transparent Ted Leonsis got rich. It really is. Well, it's hard for me to understand how he's been a successful businessman. This is an unbelievably arrogant and foolish decision that was unnecessary, and they could have just let both these guys ride it out, you know, if they want. And don't believe the stuff you're hearing from NBC Sports Washington.
Right, so you don't think Damon Phillips made this decision in any way?
Oh, my God. He's saying it with Ted with a gun to his head. Ted's calling the shots.
I thought Zach was calling the shots.
Well, again, Zach isn't calling the shots if his dad isn't behind
him. Right. Listen. Here's the one thing that I will say.
Think about this, Russell.
This could hurt. Here's the thing. Would I like them to bring back Steve Buck? Would I have liked them to bring back Steve Buckhantz? Absolutely. Would I have liked them to make the decision that they made? No. But what we don't know, and I'll just leave it at this, what we don't know is after 23 years of doing this, right? How much money Steve Buckhantz was making doing that job, okay? Which, if you're running a TV operation, and make no mistake about it, NBC Sports Washington and Ted and Zach Leonsis are running a TV operation, they're going to look at the budget and say, why are we paying this amount when we can pay 50% of that amount?
Well, look at Russell.
What does it matter? I'm not saying that's
NBC,
right, but that's
NBC,
the way business is.
Well, of course. NBC Sports Washington, look at the way they do business. I mean, look, I think it was Bill Gates who said content is king. He's wrong. It's bad content is king. I mean, basically, you have an operation there that cut loose a number of people mm-hmm. who made higher yep. salaries who had been there
yeah,
a long
Hernandez,
time.
Yeah, Chick Hernandez, obviously.
And replaced them with interns.
Yeah.
Interns who have the experience that would fit in a thimble. And it shows. The overall product is pathetic compared to what it used to be. Come on. So, of course, well, yeah.
Who are we missing besides Chick Hernandez? I'm trying to remember.
Of course. This isn't partly a money-driven thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is you're not interested in the quality of product as much as you are in how much that quality costs.
Well, but here's the thing. We don't know if Justin Kutcher is not going to be he's going to do a quality job. He's just not the same as Buck
Hands. But you got rid of a guy who does a quality
right,
job
because he costs too much. But from a business perspective, they're saying, well, we're going to get a quality guy.
You don't know that.
Well,
you don't know how
that
he's going to do.
Based on the guy's track record, right?
He's been a professional play-by-play broadcaster
for 17 years.
Russell. You know, don't make me go there, Chris.
I'm just saying. I mean, Kutcher, I don't know the first damn thing about him. I mean, I've heard his name. Again, I've read a lot about him. You're not getting a boob. You're not getting somebody who's incompetent.
He is irrelevant.
But he is relevant
matter.
Because that's the guy that they chose.
It doesn't matter.
But the reason that they chose him is probably not because he's better at his job than Steve Buckhantz. Or that he's going to connect better with the fan base than Steve Buckhantz. The reason why they probably chose him is because he probably costs 35 to 50% less
than Steve
Buckhantz. And
they should be crucified for that.
Well, that's the way. I mean, listen, this radio station does the same. I don't do the same thing because
that's
obviously
a good idea,
they spend
Russell,
a lot of money.
On the 10th anniversary.
No, I'm just saying.
Let's go down that path.
I'm just saying. Not everybody makes decisions based on money and not always talent, right? The junkies aside, they have kept the junkies talent and cost, and they have dealt with that. They've absorbed that. But a lot of places, radio stations you and I have worked at, and this place makes decisions largely based off of money.
Right.
That's just the way the world works.
I understand that,
as a
Russell.
Primary focus.
I understand that. But when you have an organization that has nothing else going for it, zero going for it, and the only thing that people feel good about is the announcing team, and you cut them loose, what you're doing is you know, you're urinating on the fans and telling them it's raining.
I'm not saying it's a smart move. I'm just saying I understand why they did it.
I don't understand why they did it. Some things are not worth the, some juice is not worth the squeezing. This one isn't.
How about the orange juice that you had earlier today? Was that worth the squeeze?
That was fine.
Okay. When we come back, a finishing touch on this as well. The Wizards, did they do something to try and make up for their controversial/poor decision earlier this week? We'll tell you about that next, right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Wrap it up. Dan Coco standing by, Nats Insider at noon. After a frustrating loss in Atlanta last night that we touched on throughout the first hour of our show, we've kind of broken into a bunch of different things over the course of the last 3 hours, finishing up with the Wizards. And Tommy, look, again, I mean, do I think the Wizards broadcast would be better with Steve Buckhantz and Phil Chenier, or Steve Buckhantz and Drew Gooden, or what? Of course, no doubt. Do I understand where they're coming from, assuming that it was made for money? What I don't like is if you believe Buckhantz, which I have no idea why he would lie about this, he did not hear from Zach or Ted Leonsis in months, he said. They let him dangle. I know, I heard some things that he was involved, you know, perhaps auditioning for another job, whatever. They let him dangle and apparently did not let him know until earlier this week that he was officially not coming back. If that timeline that Buckhantz basically laid out with Grant and Danny here on The Fan earlier this week is true, and again, I have no reason to dispute it, that's not good. That's poor in addition to what is on very much the surface and the first couple of layers, a poor decision as well.
It's a low rent move conducted by a low rent owner who does it with a smile on his face. That's what it is.
So even though Ted, or as you call him, Transparent Ted, got rid of your favorite guy, Ernie Grunfeld, that hasn't earned him.
Oh, come on. What was, I mean, got rid of him when? It is shit. When
I'm just asking.
When he took over full ownership of the team in 2010, mm-hmm. his first move should have been to fire Ernie Grunfeld. And we were still reeling from the Gilbert Arenas right. debacle back then. The franchise was almost destroyed by Ernie Grunfeld's decisions. And his first move should have been the Wizards fans say, hey, look, we know that you've suffered for a long time, not since Ernie's been here, but longer than that. You know, we understand that we're going to change the way things are done around here. We're not going to do business the same way. That should have been done. That should have been done the first week that Ted was
but
on the job.
I would say this just to defend Ernie and Ted to some degree. They made the playoffs 4 out of his last 6 years. And with a healthy John Wall, they almost would have, I think people believe they would have gotten to the Eastern Final.
But they didn't get to the Eastern Final
that.
Because of their general manager.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, their general manager. Good. I mean, particularly the game against the Celtics, John Wall played, coming back from double knee surgery, John Wall was 6th in the league in minutes played right. that year. Right. Remember, that year, beginning of the season, he was supposed to have an ease into schedule, but they started out 2-8.
Right.
So they had to start playing him right. all the time.
Right. So heavy minutes, back-to-back games.
So they wound up being 5th or 6th in the league in minutes. And going into that 7th game, the Celtics players said our strategy was just to tire out John
right.
Wall.
Right.
Because he was exhausted.
He was exhausted.
Because there was no bench.
That's, again, I'm not trying to defend Ernie, or I'm just trying to point out different things, just different things for context. Let's finish it up like this. I think news leaked out last night. I guess The Athletic had it first. NBC Sports Washington, I saw with it after that. Tommy, that Tommy Shepard is going to now be the permanent general manager. I don't think the Wizards have confirmed this yet, or at least I missed that part. But this is heading where everybody thought it was heading. I believe that this decision and the timing is somewhat connected to the decision and the timing of letting Buckhantz go, meaning Tommy Shepard is not necessarily who Wizards fans are craving for, but I think most Wizards fans think he's done a pretty reasonable and good job this offseason. But the biggest thing that they were craving is a permanent decision, a full-time, not interim tag on their general manager and theoretically their president of basketball operations. And by doing this just a couple of days after you screwed over a lot of your fan base with the Buckhantz decision, I think this at least takes some of that sour taste out of Wizards fans' mouth. Is there anything to that?
There's nothing to that whatsoever.
Okay.
Why don't we end the show there? Absolutely nothing to that. If you think Tommy Shepard moves the needle,
I didn't
for anybody,
say Tommy Shepard
well,
moves the needle. I said, removing the interim tag and making him the permanent GM when he's done a reasonably good job. I think in every Wizards fan's eye,
look, he's done okay. Let's not crown the guy. I see people putting on Twitter that he's earned the job.
Right,
he's been
reasonably
on the job
good.
For 5 minutes. He wasn't. His biggest accomplishment is he's not Ernie Grunfeld. That's his biggest accomplishment. We don't know. I mean, we don't know how good he's done. We haven't seen any of these players play, the guys he drafted. We have no idea how good he is at this job.
Well, that's why I said reasonably good. I didn't try and make him out to be in Springfield.
Reasonably,
or
come up with a reason.
Reasonably good.
What's the one reason that he's done a good job?
I got rid of a lot of veteran guys who didn't really want to be here, who had different motivations, and he's brought in a young group of hungry, hardworking players to try and rebuild the culture.
Hardworking.
Well, that's what everybody says about them. I don't know them
personally. No, you don't know them. You don't know if they're hard working. You don't know if they're hungry.
Here's what I know. There's no reason or incentive for Trevor Ariza or Jeff Green, even though they may have liked being here. There's no reason for them to be hungry working for a team that's probably going to win 35 games or less.
So you're giving
these players, Admiral Schofield, Rui Hachimura, or whatever the guy's name is. I mean, at least you hope that they are, that they have a desire to build together.
You hope?
You hope.
Oh, okay. So you don't know.
Maybe they know. I hope.
They don't
maybe
know
they
either.
Know.
They don't know.
I hope so. I hope they know more than
there's
I do.
There's no Tommy Shepard bump, trust
okay.
me.
All right.
And
all
I think he has done an okay job.
I like when Tommy gets all mad at me. When he gets all, there's nothing to it. Gets all angry.
Well, there isn't. There isn't.
It's just something that my weird brain kind of spit out. I think there is something to it. You think there's nothing to it. That's how we'll end the show. You say tomato, I say tomato. Thanks to Jim Jester on the other side of the glass. Thanks to Dave Jagler for joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Sarin Petro for joining us from Kansas City. Thanks to you guys for listening and calling. We're back tomorrow from 9 to noon. More Redskins and plenty of reaction from tonight's game 3 of the Nats Braves series. Dan Coco standing by with Nats Insider. That's next. Have a great Saturday. Stay cool somehow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.